Good morning, Shavuot Tov, everybody. Today, we are doing Mitzvah 18, or if you're keeping track in the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah 613, the last Mitzvah of the Torah. What is that Mitzvah? The Pasuk in Hazinu tells us, V'ata kisful lechem es ha-shira hazos. Go write down the Shira, go write down the song. And teach it to the Jewish people. What does this mean? Write down the song. So as we'll see today, there are a couple different approaches what exactly this song is. We'll see as well that there seems to be a debate where we place the emphasis in this pasuk. But to open it up, we're going to see the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch we've encountered before, an anonymous work, counting all 613 mitzvos. The general assumption is, right, this song is referring to the Torah. Meaning to say, go now, Moshe is commanded, and write down the entire Torah, so that it should be, right, the source sheets are over there. Go down and write, there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. That's the general assumption. The question really is going to be become is, where exactly do you place the emphasis on the Torah? There's two ways to read this pasuk. It's now go write this Torah, so that you can teach the Jewish people, which implies that the emphasis really is on the teaching aspect of it, and the way in which you can teach is only if you have Svarim, the Sefer Torah, whereas others say no. The actual point of this mitzvah is to have Sefer Torah, whether or not we're planning on learning from them, but the very fact we have a Sefer Torah, the holiest object in our religion, we have something we can point to and say, Vezos HaTorah, we have something in the Ark. You know, what anchors the shul, gives sanctity to the shul, is the fact of the Sefer Torah. That's the objective. It's less about learning from it and more about just having it. So this is going to be the debate.
Why is there a debate?
There's
two parts of one statement, to write it and to learn.
But again, where's the emphasis? Are we writing it so that we can learn? Because we already have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So you could say perhaps that since the smag does not count the mitzvah, the behag does not count the mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah. Why not? So some want to say because he placed the emphasis in the latter half of the pasuk, the point really is to learn, and he goes, that we already have a mitzvah for. We should be learning Torah all the time. And if there's no need to have a separate, and therefore what's the Torah telling us? It's kind of like, it's good advice. Go write a Torah so that you can learn from. Well, let's explore it a little more before we jump up and down, because there's going to be, we'll see how it plays out. The Rambam writes, Mitzvahs asei al kol ish v'ish v'yisrael. There's a positive command on every man in Klal Yisrael. Excuse me. Again, interesting, he puts it on every man. Why is this a mitzvah seishes man gramos? We'll get there in a minute. But there's a positive command on every man in Klal Yisrael. Lichtov sefer Torah la'atmo. To write their own sefer Torah. Shenemar, as it says, v'ata kitzvul chemes ha-shira ha-zos. We should go and write down this song. Kolomar kisvul lechem Torah sheyesh bo shira zu. And that's also interesting. That where is this verse found, Jonathan, in Balkore? Exactly. It's following Hazinu. Hazinu, Parshas Hazinu is written as a shira, a song. That if you ever get the Aliyah of Hazinu, you'll notice, similar to, let's say, Az Yashir, it's written differently. The layout in the Torah is different. Az Yashir is, it's written the way the Gemara refers to it, it's like bricks, laying of bricks. You have a word, and then a word below it, then a word below it, almost as if you're laying bricks. It's not written in a full line of words. And Hazinu is written in columns, as if to convey this is a song. So the way the Rambam says, why Shira? Why is it a Shira? The Rambam says, very simple, that write down the work that has this book in, that has a song in it. It's a roundabout way of saying it, perhaps. Meaning to say as follows. So the Rambam's of the opinion, one's not allowed to write a half a Sefer Torah. When you write a Sefer Torah, it has to have the full, complete five books of Moses. So therefore, when the Torah says, write down the song, the only way to write it is really if you have all five books, i.e. you have a full kosher Sefer Torah. There are others who want to learn this Rambam, be a second, others who learn this Rambam, and say, no, that's not necessarily true. That maybe the Rambam thinks the point of this mitzvah is only to have Parshas Hazinu. As you go through Hazinu, and it's really God giving us Musar and God telling us you better behave, otherwise, and don't get caught up in the hedonism, focus on the transcendental, focus on what's important in life. That's the ikkar. That's what's so important. The problem is you can't write a Sefer Torah without Parshas Hazinu. You can't just write a Hazinu. You have to have the whole Torah. And therefore, almost incidental to having to write Hazinu, you have to write it within the whole Torah. A ramification again would be whether when we say write Hazinu, do we mean the whole Torah versus no, we just mean write Pars Hazinu, but there's no way to write Hazinu without the Torah. One of the ramifications would be, what if you write the whole Torah and then it all gets erased and you just have Hazinu left? You have to go rewrite it, or no, really the point was to write Hazinu. What if you write it Hazinu and you violate the Salacha and you only write Hazinu? B'di'evit, are you Yotzei? Now, again, there's going to be a lot of questions. I'm going to try to preempt you. We do write half the Torah. People have the Parshas Ketores, right? You seen that? So Tzvilmus is a separate din. That does a pasuk that tells us we can do that. Okay. But we do tend to write it. So that
Parsha.
Well, again, there's a pasuk that tells us to do that. But I think.
Well, there's a pasuk that tells us to write Shirat
Aminu. Good point. Fair point. I think that has to be explored a lot more beyond what we're going to go through now, because we do write it. We write Chamashim. Why is that allowed, etc. Yeah, you got another Nafkamina?
Well, it would also matter if you write a Sefer Torah and part of it goes puzzle and that's not.
Correct. Exactly. Then the Rambam goes on to say, V'af al-pisha nichlo avos of Sefer Torah. Let's say a person, again, if the point is to have a Sefer Torah, so a person opens up the will after their father passes away and they find, oh, wait, I inherited a Torah. Says the Rambam, mitzvah l'ktot b'shalom. You still have a mitzvah to write one, as in the command is to write a Sefer Torah.
Does it have to be a
whole one? Yes. Then Mar Sinai, and says the Rambam, quoting the Gemara, a person who writes the Torah, or maybe they hire someone to write the Torah for them, as if they accept the Torah from Har Sinai themselves. And then the Rambam says something very cryptic, and anyone who has a Torah, unless the Torah is missing one letter, and they fill that letter in, it's as if they wrote the whole Torah. It's going to be a little hard to understand what the Rambam means by that, but let's stop there for a minute. I want to just get the Rambam. So what we see for the Rambam is, there's a mitzvah in every man to write a Torah. The mitzvah seemingly is the emphasis is on writing the Torah, which is why if you inherit it, you still have to write it. And okay, that's for the Rambam. Comes along the Sefer HaChinuch, and he has a totally different way of understanding the purpose of this mitzvah, this command to write the Torah. It says as follows. First of all, he gives a reason for it. Why would the Torah command every person to write a Torah? Why? So he says that when someone has things that are, when things are accessible, then we tend to use them. When people have to work for something, oftentimes they just say, I don't need it. When things are handed to someone, it's much easier. So if everyone has a Torah sitting in their house, they're probably going to come to learn it. That's an interesting psychological point. So he says that if we create a proliferation of Torahs in Klal Yisrael, and you can easily walk to your bookshelf, you don't have to go to the local base medrash, you're much more likely to use it, right? That's why Amazon is so popular. It's easy. Okay. And then he says as follows.
This thing should be to buy one, not necessarily to write one. That's the case. It should be to buy one, not necessarily to write one.
So it could be, we'll get there in a second. Vida, Bani, says as follows. She'af al pisha ikar achi d'oraisa ain't a rock with Sefer Torah. The actual positive command is to write a Sefer Torah, as in what we have standing behind us. Ain suffix, Shigan Bishar Svaram Shinichabru al Pirash Torah, Yesh Lho Echad Lasas Mam Kifi Chasod Binatam Shamru, Babashinichlo Abasim and Rabim, Zeo Derek Kalanchi Mali Yir Al Kim. He says, even though the Iker Mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah, but one can fulfill this obligation somehow with other Svarim. What does he mean by that? Other Svarim? So if you look at the Rush, listen to what he says. And this is the other approach, right? Rambam's approach is write a Sefer Torah to have it. So Rush is like, no. But Amrani, this is in the bold of that below. The vade mitzvah gadola he lichto sefer Torah. V'gam min lamoch elam Torah v'lis isha. Right, there's a command to write a Torah. There's also a command we're not allowed to sell a Torah for anything other than to teach Torah and to get married. Those are the only two exceptions when one's allowed to sell sefer Torah. Other than that, we don't sell sefer Torah. Avol ha'idna says the Rush. Nowadays, shekosvin sefer Torah v'nichan osav v'bete kinesios likrobo rab mitzvah. Now, what do we do with sefer Torah nowadays? It used to be back in the day, you wanted to learn. So you opened up your Sefer Torah and you started learning. But nowadays, no one does that. What's the purpose of our Sefer Torah? Why do we have them? Sure. We write them. We put them in the Ara. We pull them out 3 times a week to learn from them. And other than that, no one's opening Sefer Torah. I'm not going to ever come here, open a Sefer Torah, and start giving shir. We don't do that. So he said. So he says as follows. He says, therefore, the mitzvahs I say he I'll call ish miyisrael asher b'yadu misagas lichtov chumashich Torah mishnah gemara pirush lagoz bem hu banav. So the mitzvah has seemingly changed or has become more expansive to include really any sort of books, svarim, that will lead to Talmud Torah. Meaning to say, says the Rush, the emphasis on the pasuk is not writing the Torah. The emphasis is really on writing a Torah so that you can learn from. Well, in the event no one's learning for Sefer Torah, says the Rush, we now have a positive command to go and write other svarim, to go and buy other svarim. Perhaps for the Rush, if you inherit it, it's not the biggest deal in the world. It's not a problem because, again, you're still learning from it. Ki mitzvah k'siva Torah hu lilmud bo. The point of writing the Torah is to learn from it. K'diksiv v'lamata es bani Yisrael shema b'fiyam. As the pasuk says, so you should teach the Jewish people. And therefore, he goes on to say, the Pri Chodesh actually thinks this is true. The Pri Chodesh writes that nowadays, seemingly, there's no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. And the Beis Yosef jumps up and down. He's like, what are you talking about? You're going to change the Torah? You're going to change the Torah? The Torah says, write a Torah. So either you could say the mitzvahs become more expansive, or you could say the command never was to actually write a Sefer Torah. The command was to write something to learn from. In the days of the Torah, all you had was a Sefer Torah. Or you can say, again, it's always was more expansive. But the Rush says the point of writing a Torah is so we can have more Torahs to learn from. And what emerges is a lot of nafkamina, a lot of very fascinating differences. And I'm going to give you 1 second. Right, again, Rambam is to write the Torah, to have a Torah. Maybe perhaps for the reason that the Chinuch says is because when it's accessible to you, well, I'll tell you not the Chinuch. There's a Talmud of the Rambam says the reason, he gives a reason, it goes, people tend to care for and care about things that they're invested in. If someone spends so much time writing a Torah, they're probably going to become much more invested in it. That's one approach. The Rush says, no, the point of writing a Torah is so you can learn from it. And if that's true, you have two totally different ways of looking at the mitzvah. Yeah.
I was going to say, is it about writing it or purchasing it? Like nowadays, we don't write any svarim, they're all printed. Right.
Correct. So you start seeing, according to, in the world of the Rambam very much employs the Gemara. The Gemara says anyone who buys a Torah, it's as if they were chotev Torah min ashuk. Not exactly. They stole the Torah from the shuk. Meaning to say, as if they're trying to get out of doing the mitzvah. Rashi understands it to be you didn't get the mitzvah on the highest level, but you still got the mitzvah. Rambam seems to say like, no, you're missing out on the mitzvah. But I want to go to a couple nafkamina before you had a nafkamina or.
But it's about the writing the Torah. You're allowed to pay somebody to write it for you. But if you buy a book, aren't you technically paying the people who wrote it to write the book? Because you need to publish it, you need money, you need it. Like,
well, that's not if you go buy a chumash.
Huh?
Not if you go buy a chumash. So I want to give a couple of interesting nafkaminas. Ready for this? What happened? Do you make a bracha when you finish writing a Torah? Do you make a bracha when you finish writing a Torah? Assuming you can figure out when exactly. Let's say you have one letter left. You make a bracha. The poskim seem to be split. The Maribe Rav first writes that maybe you should make a bracha. Why? Because you have a mitzvah to write a Torah. But ultimately he concludes you shouldn't because he says the finishing of writing a Sefer Torah, the finishing of this mitzvah is not when you write the final lamed of Me'enei Kol Yisrael. It's when you start learning from it. You start learning from it. That's the completion of a Sefer Torah. Very interesting, no? It's Birchas HaTorah. And if it's Birchas HaTorah, what it's telling you is the point of writing a Torah is merely to learn from. Well, again, I don't know when he would actually say that. According to those who say maybe you shouldn't make a bracha, I don't know when that would be. You know, the other discussion that comes up for this is, do you make a bracha before you build a sukkah? So then I don't know when that would be as well. We don't pass in the way, but Yerushalmi does. Would you make that, you know? Well, he actually brings us into the discussion. When you make that before you put the first piece of schach on, before you put the last piece of schach on, that I don't know. We can look into that. What do you say? So we pass it to Hechsher Mitzvah. Seemingly, we pass it also writing the Torah, according to the Rosh, would be like a Hechsher Mitzvah. Maybe that's what maybe Barav says.
The view of the Rambam.
Correct. And then you have to figure out why or you don't make a bracha.
Right.
What else? We have there a couple of them because we had that for me. If you inherit it, you buy it. I don't want to get it. It's a little more complicated. But one of the places this does come out is, well, one is, what if you write one letter, right? You know how they at the end of, there's a fascinating tshuva of Rekiva Eger. Rekiva Eger asked the following question. A person's walking on the road, they find a Sefer Torah on the floor. We have a halacha. Sefer Torah only has its kedusha, its sanctity, if it was written by someone who is able to imbue it with sanctity, as in they're a God-fearing Jew. In fact, if a non-Jew writes a Torah, I think we put it in Geniza. If a heretic writes a Torah, we can burn it. We burn it. That's what Rambam says. We burn it because it has no sanctity. You're walking down the road, you find a Sefer Torah. Can you assume it was written by a Jew, or do you assume it was written by a heretic? So Rav Kiviger says as follows. Open it up. If the last column, all the letters look identical, has no sanctity. If they look different, it has sanctity. Why? Because what's our practice? What do we do? We all go, the sofer comes, make a big ceremony, and everyone comes and write and fills in the letters, which means the last column of a Sefer Torah, the letters are a little off. They're a little off. So that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, but what I want to pull out from there is, what if you write one letter in the Sefer Torah? Because we know a Sefer Torah is missing something. A Sefer Torah is missing a letter. It's possible. It's not valid. It happens to be, just throw it out there. What does it mean it's invalid? I'll tell you why. Do you need to read your weekly parsha from a valid Sefer Torah? So it's actually machlokus. The Rambam. Two different places in the Rambam. One's in a letter and one's in the Mishnah Torah. Do you need to read the Sefer Torah from a valid Sefer Torah? The Rambam in one place says yes, the other place it says no. The only time we know for sure you definitely have to read from a valid Sefer Torah is when you're reading a Kriya d'Oraisa. Reading a biblical command like Parshas Zachar, or maybe Parshas Parah, or Hakel when the king reads, or what else? If you want to fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, so if you're of the opinion that you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah to read the Torah from the Torah, which I'll tell you how we pass it in a second, so then why would you need a kosher Sefer Torah? Because you want to fulfill the mitzvah. Now how do we pass it, by the way, between the Rambam and the Rambam? The way we passing that is very interesting. What we say is you should strive to have a kosher Sefer Torah. But let's say you're at the end of the seventh Aliyah of Parshas Bahalosha, right? The longest Parshas in the Torah. Last seventh Aliyah, you're at Mafir, and someone goes, oh, wait, there's a letter that's messed up. We say, well, in that case, you don't have to go back and start over again. Because we know the Rambam and the Tshuva says you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah. And what we do is we'll close it up and we'll pull out a kosher Sefer Torah from the Ark and we'll read from that one from where you left off. Why? Because we straddle both. That was a tangent, right? But it falls into that. So what happens if you write one letter in the Torah? You write one letter in the Torah, and now you complete the Torah. Now it's complete Torah. It's interesting. In Hilchas Shabbos, in the laws of Shabbos, in order to violate Shabbos, you have to do what's called a significant act. And we're familiar with this in other areas of Halacha. We discussed last week. In order to violate eating non-kosher, you have to have a significant act of eating, which is a kezias. What's a significant act when it comes to Shabbos? So depending on the malacha, on the work you're doing, that's going to depend on, therefore, how we're going to qualify what is considered significant. Meaning to say, if I take a toothpick and stick it in the ground, I don't know if we'll call that bona, although they used to hide their needles in the ground. You have to do something significant. When it comes to writing, what's considered significant? I make a line in a paper, now it's considered writing? So the Gemara tells us you have to write two letters. Why? Because the smallest word is two letters. So you write two letters, now you're in violation of writing on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, what if I write the Lamed at the end of Le'enei Kol Yisrael, and I finish the Sefer Torah? Suddenly now I've imbued one letter with significance. Is a ksiva, is a makai patish, I don't want to get into. But the point is, in Hilchas Shabbos, if you finish off the Sefer Torah, you're not in violation because it's considered a significant act. Well, what about if I'm, it's a regular weekday, and I write the Lamed, did I complete a Sefer Torah? So seemingly, you can argue it falls out on this machlokas as well, of Rambam and Chinuch. According to the Rambam, the point is to write a Sefer Torah from beginning to the end. So if I write one letter, yes, now I've completed the Sefer Torah, but I didn't write it. Whereas according to the Chinuch and the Rosh, no, the point is to have Sefer Torah around so we can learn from. So if I write the Lamed, maybe one can argue, I have now fulfilled my obligation. I've now fulfilled my obligation. No, it's interesting. Any thoughts on that?
This where the idea of cheaper Sefer Torah, of training non-Jews to, in countries where labor is cheaper, to write everything except for like the last column and then have a Jew.
No, that's not allowed. I've never heard of that, and I hope we don't have any Sefer Torah like that. Also, part for many reasons. I'll give you why right now. Ready here? We'll go to the next. I'll skip. I'll get to this one as well.
Some shuls have done this. I guess since the mitzvah saw how to write a Torah, you know, you have a ceremony and you have 30 people. No.
Correct. So that might fall out into this discussion, although there it's more a fundraiser.
Right.
Mitzvah tzedakah. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
yeah. Correct. So that
you can't write one Torah, right?
So that's another question. Can you do it with shutfist? That's another question that could be also play out in this as well. Yeah.
We had a Sefer Torah donated here, or presumably we raised money.
1992. Yeah. So that was Elliot's question. Do you all fulfill your obligation or not? It happens to be what we do then is, It happens to be.
It happens to be
is we don't actually write the letters, right? The sofer fills it out, and then you just fill it in because they want it to look neat. It's most probable that when the sofer makes the outline, that's actually considered a kosher letter. It's not ideal, but it's considered kosher. So you're just filling in the ink, and you're really just making yourself feel good and giving some money to the show, which is fine.
When I did it, I'm appointing him as my agent. That's how we do it.
Yeah, again, we want to fulfill do things in the most ideal way, but that also gets around many issues. Because let's say the local heretic shows up and he's like, okay, can I fill it in? And what do you do then? Lemaisa, it was filled up. The sofa really, you know, oftentimes the sofa can be in Israel, and he did it all then and sends it that way. But yeah, here's another discussion. This plays into I think what Inbar was just saying. Is a woman obligated in this mitzvah? The Rambam already told us the woman's not obligated. The question is why not? The question is why not? Because it's not a mitzvah to say Shizman Grama, right? It's not a mitzvah to say Shizman Grama. It's a command to write a Torah. Surely a woman should be involved. The Chinuch writes, I'll tell you why a woman's not obligated. Well, what's the purpose of this mitzvah, as the Rosh told us? Talmud Torah. And a woman, as we know, is exempt from Talmud Torah. Right? If we recall from last week, we had the whole discussion about tefillin. We wanted to know why tefillin, the Rambam had a separate exemption, learning the fact that a woman's exempt from Talmud Torah, so she's exempt from tefillin, when we said it's a Stam Mitzvah Aseh Shizman Grama. We didn't have a good answer for the Rambam. It happens to be I went home, and I looked in the Mechilta, and I saw the Magen Avraham had a commentary on the Mechilta, and he actually flips it. He says, the way we know a woman's exempt from Talmud Torah is because she's exempt from tefillin. Because you would have thought a woman's chayav in Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is a all-encompassing, all-the-time mitzvah, so whether it's day or night. And therefore, the fact she's exempt from tefillin, she's exempt from Talmud Torah. Okay, put that there. I need to answer that now. But the point is, a woman's exempt from Talmud Torah. So the Chinuch says the reason why a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of writing a Torah is because she's exempt from Talmud Torah. For the Rush, that's the Rush. For the Rambam, that's not why is a woman exempt. So I'll tell you, the Shagas Ari jumps in. The Shagas Ari says it must be a woman's obligated. Must be a woman's obligated. He was a very independent spirit. He said, must be a woman's obligated because it says mitzvah saseh. It's not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah saseh. It's not time bound, and therefore the chinuch, the Shagas Ari thinks a woman's obligated, which is very interesting. Now, how would she write it? And this is probably the reason why the Rambam says she's exempt. We have a klal that anyone who can't write tefillin can't write a sefer Torah, and who's obligated to write? Who can write tefillin? Only someone obligated in writing tefillin. So a non-Jew is not obligated to write tefillin. They can't write tefillin. A woman is not obligated in the mitzvah tefillin, she can't write tefillin. We extend from there when it comes to Torah as well. If you're not obligated in tefillin, then you're not able to write tefillin or a sefer Torah. Again, as we said, a sefer Torah has to be written by someone who's able, who has a certain level of obligation. So perhaps to the Rambam, the reason why a woman is exempt from the mitzvah is not because it says mitzvah says she's not grama, it's just because she can't write it. Where the Shagos Ari is like, no, I'll tell you what, so hire someone. Most people, I don't think... So he clearly still thinks that the exemption exists. But for the rest of us, the Shagas Ari said, you know, if Charles Vinesky wants to fulfill his obligation, he might just say, I'm going to follow the rush, and I'll buy a sitter for the shul and good and well. I'm not spending $50,000. But let's say one day Charles wakes up and he's feeling very magnanimous. He's like, I want to donate a sefer Torah to the shul. And he's like, right? Are you going to write it yourself? No, you'll hire someone. So a woman can do the same thing, which is what the Shagas Ari says. The rush is like, no, she's totally exempt because she's not obligated in Talmud Torah, whereas the Rambam is going to say it's probably because, again, she can't write it, she has no obligation. And the Shagas Ari is like, no, she has an obligation, she can hire someone. And that leads me to the last point. And the Beis HaLevi points out as follows. And this comes up in other areas as well. He said, if we did not have the mitzvah, he says, why is a woman exempt? Because after all, a woman is obligated to learn, right? This we know. A woman makes birchas Torah. Why? Because she's obligated to learn the mitzvahs that are pertinent and relevant to her, and if we're honest, that's all of the negative commands, and it's really most of the positive commands. Like, barring a few which actually happen to be very prominent, like sitting in the sukkah, she's really obligated in most positive commands. I think it's only like seven or eight she's not, and the eighth one being writing Sefer Torah. Right? That's why some say yes, some say no, seven or eight. But, so that being said, she's really obligated to really learn a lot. I'll tell you what, get through Kashrus, get through Shabbos, get through, Hilchos Nida. Get through Mikvaos. Get through, at that point, Hilchos Yomtif. At that point, you finish a smicha curriculum and a woman's obligated and all that. So before we get to the area where the woman's not obligated, and she's pretty much obligated in basically most of why you smicha. So why does she not have an obligation to write the Sefer Torah? So the Beis HaLevi said something very interesting. He said, if the Torah never commanded us to learn Torah, we would still have an obligation to learn Torah. Because how else would we know how to make a sukkah? How else would we know when to eat matzah? How else would we know when to do any of the other 613 mitzvahs? In order to know how to do them, you have to learn about them. So the Beis HaLevi says something very interesting. He said there's two levels when it comes to learning Torah. There's the base level of learn in order to know. Learn in order to know, and that everyone's obligated in. And he said there's an additional level of work that comes when the Torah commands us to learn Torah day and night, and that's beyond just learn to know, but that's to learn just to learn. Learn for the sake of learning. Learn for Talmud Torah's sake. He said the reason we write a Torah is not to learn to know. According to the Rambam, or it's more like according to the Rush, it gets a little complicated here, but really the reason we write a Torah is to learn just for the sake of learning. And that only a man is obligated, and a woman's not obligated, and that's why a woman's exempt. Meaning to say, had the Torah commanded us to learn just to learn how to do mitzvahs, so a woman would be obligated as well. But the reason the Torah says write this Torah to teach Jewish people is to learn in order just for the sake of learning. That's a higher level, and that only a man is obligated in. And that's why a woman is exempt from writing the Torah.
Did they make a distinction between obligated and not permitted?
No, I'm not going to get there. That's a very different discussion.
As a practical matter, women's handwriting is much neater than ours.
Regardless of whether a woman's obligated or not obligated, a woman who writes the Sefer Torah, it's not a kosher Sefer Torah. There was a movement a few years ago in certain movements to write for women to get women to start writing. They're not kosher Sefer Torahs. Okay, that leads us to this very interesting tosfos. The pasuk tells us in Yeshua, the pasuk tells us that Yeshua, after he captured Yericho, but Yeshua comes into Eretz Yisrael, he captured Yericho, the whole ceremony there, and he circles the city seven times, blowing shofar, the walls come down. It says that night, Yeshua, he's sitting outside the city. He raises his eyes, v'nei ish omed lenegdo. There's a person standing in front of him. V'chervo shluf b'yad, he's holding the sword. V'yelch Yeshua elav, v'yomelo halonu at, Yeshua goes and says, who are you? Im letartiv, amar kiat, loan kiani sar tzva Hashem ata ba'asi. So again, the scene is Yeshua, think of the battle. The battlefield is there. They just won the war. And Yeshua sees that night a person standing with a sword. He says, who are you? And the person responds, I'm a malach, I'm an angel. And it says, immediately Yeshua falls on his face and begins to talk to him. And that's the story. Comes along Gemara's following. The Gemara says, let me give you some background what's going on here. Gemara Megillah on Daf Gimel Aleph. Turn the page. Yeshua captures Yericho, says the Gemara, and he sees a man standing in front of him. He says, who are you? So the person says, I'm an angel. He says, why are you here? Why did you come? Why are you here? So he says as follows. Emesh batlasim tamid shal ben arbaim. Va'achsham batlasim tamid Torah. He said, I'm here to deliver a message to you, Joshua, the leader of Jewish people. Last night, when you were preparing for battle, you didn't bring the evening sacrifice that one is obligated to bring every single day. And now, because you're so tired from battle, and you're involved in the battle, you are not learning Torah. So I'm here to deliver a message that you did something wrong. You did something wrong. Just because you're engaged in battle doesn't mean you're exempt from these things, perhaps. So Amar lo, al ezim and ba'asa. Well, which one of them did you come from? I know you didn't come for both. You came, I did something wrong. Is it because I didn't bring the communal sacrifice? Or is it because I'm not learning Torah? So Amar lo, atabasi, I'm here now, meaning to say I came because you're not learning Torah now. So Miyad, immediately, what does he do? Vayilin Yeshua b'layla hu b'tzok emek. It says Yeshua went down to sleep in middle of the emek. Amar Yochanan is cut off. Ein emek ela emek shahalacha. Meaning he went to delve into the depths, the valleys of halacha. And he began to learn. Again, what's the story? The story basically is Yeshua now, there was some sort of lull in the battle. He now had free time, therefore he should be learning Torah. And the Malach chastises him for sitting there and resting. Yeshua, a person of your stature not learning? How can it be? That's the story. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos says, and how do I know, how does the Gemara know what's going on here? So if you look at the word that Yeshua uses, he says to Yeshua says, why are you here? He goes, Ata ba'asi, I came now. Pirish Rivan, Al Torah Torah ba'as. He came to tell them that you're not learning Torah. How do I know? Diksiv bei v'ata kisvu lechem zeshir azos. Because the same word v'ata is, we write, and now write this Torah. It's the word, now write this Torah, the same word as the Malach said, and now I'm here for now. So we see I'm here for now. I mean, the same now of I'm here for now is he's alluding to the fact he's supposed to write the Torah. That's the story. I've read the story many, many times. I've read Megillah, fortunately, many times. And then we move on. Okay. Comes along Rav Menachem Ganek, the OU. And he quotes the following from the Panovitcher Rebbe of Kahneman. He says as follows. A person, as we discussed on Shavuos, who's involved in one mitzvah, we know is exempt from other mitzvahs. Why that is, we can give many reasons. Osip a mitzvah, patim in a mitzvah. Yeshua is in a mitzvah battle. He's conquering the land of Israel. Multiple mitzvahs over there. He's certainly exempt from learning Torah. He's certainly exempt from learning Torah. So what's the Malach telling him? I mean, Rav Kahneman says something so powerful. There are multiple verses in the Torah that tell us to learn Torah. Multiple verses. Of all the verses in the Torah that say that are much more straightforward, learn Torah, which one did the angel quote? V'yatem kisvu lechem eshira hazos. Learn this Torah. Learn this song. Comes along of Kahneman and says as follows. There is a level of obligation to learn Torah. There's even a level of obligation to learn Torah for Torah's sake. But then it goes beyond that. Then it becomes, I'm not learning because I'm commanded. I'm not learning because this is just, the Torah says you should learn Torah day and night. I'm learning because it's a Shira Hazos. It's a song of our life. Way beyond just being a mitzvah command, this becomes, as he says, Kihem Chayenu V'yarachemenu. This is the song of our life. It's a song, right? So interesting, the Torah is called a song, a Shira. That, he says, is not relevant to a technical discussion, am I exempt, am I not exempt? If the Torah for you is a song, it's so beautiful, it's what animates your life, so you're not going to start asking questions, well, technically right now, I'm permitted not to be learning, so I'm not going to learn. No, the first thing you're going to do when you have free time is you're going to run to open up a Gemara, you're going to run to open a Torah to learn more, because that's what's animating your life. That's what's animating your life, and I thought it was a beautiful idea. And also what it shows you, according to Tosfos seemingly, is the mitzvah of writing a Torah is really about the Shira. It's about singing the song of Torah. It's about having Torah to learn from. And this brings us back, I think, in a way, to the student of the Rambam, who says the reason we write the Torah, each and every one of us, is because that's what invests us in it. That when you purchase a Sefer Torah, when you invest yourself financially in the endeavor of Talmud Torah, that creates almost a personal desire to learn Torah. And by the way, he goes on to say as follows, the Shulchan Aruch tells us a person, you're not allowed to sell Sefer Torah for anything, except, as you mentioned, to get married and to learn Torah itself. He says, the Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if someone's very hungry? They're starving, they don't have food, assuming it's not a case of pekuach nefesh, they're very, very hungry. You're not allowed to go and sell a Sefer Torah to buy food. You have to go to the local kupas tzedakah and ask for tzedakah money. Why would that be? So the same Talmud of the Rambam, I forgot his name, he says, because what we're trying to demonstrate is, the same way we live off the sustenance of bread, we live off the sustenance of the Torah. And therefore, if we don't have food, we're not going to sell the last remaining bit of food we have, that is the Torah, the sustenance of our life, the shira of our life. And what's beautiful is this very last mitzvah, the capstone of the Torah, according to the Chinuch, is to tell us, not only do we have this mitzvah of keeping all this entire Torah, we have a mitzvah to write it down so we can constantly remember it, but I think beyond that, we call it a shira to remind us that the Torah is much more than just a list of 613 mitzvahs, a litany of commands and obligations. But rather, it's a shira, it's what should animate our life to such an extent that we're going ahead, we're writing it, we're investing money in writing it, and it becomes the cornerstone to everything we do. I wish you a wonderful week.